I realize that I have to bring the kind of commitment, devotion, and yes energy to whatever I do and be willing to go through the abysmal pits of hell sometimes to see the experience through. Because what we commit to is the experience.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Women Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Ecstatic Woman. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. And I'm here today on a powerful day, even though as you listen to this recording, it will not be the day that today is where we are here in this moment. Today is a very big day astrologically. We're on a new moon. We're on a changing of the nodes. And there is a big energy of change in the air. And what I was feeling and sensing this morning is this word of imperative. Moving forward in these next couple of years, we are being invited so deeply by our higher selves to align, to ground in, to connect with our purpose, to be insistent in our conviction from our hearts and from our wombs, that every action that we take is to the best of our ability towards our purpose, towards our truth. And today, our host is here to have this conversation with us of this imperativeness and to bring in insight and awareness for all of you to understand these next couple of years more clearly. So let's welcome from our hearts and from our wombs our guest today, Beth Davis. Beth is known as a catalyst for life's purpose, and she is also an intuitive oracle. She really helps people to find that one thing that is holding them back from really aligning and living their purpose. Beth, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So Beth, to you, what is purpose?
Purpose is a sense of what your deepest truth, deepest essence wants to experience, express in the world. And you can have a sense of purpose raking leaves, mowing the lawn, taking out the trash. The sense of purpose now for me, even without definitions or labels, is very much about starting my day connected to my body and asking my body what it's needing, starting with the vehicle, the body, and then tuning into what is wanting to be expressed, what is wanting to come through this vehicle, come through this body, out into the world. And that I would say is on a daily basis. I've been in the business of identifying with people's specific purpose through different tools, such as palm reading, human design, Myers-Briggs. You know, there's all these different tools. You can even use a tarot deck. People use a pendulum. But ultimately, when we look deep inside, there is a spark or calling in all of us to create in some way in this world. For some people, they have to be deeply, deeply selfish, and I mean that in a positive way, deeply selfish to create their art. And other people are here to be deeply of service, and often I find it's flipped. The people that are supposed to be deeply selfish in service of their creativity feel guilty they're not serving more, and the people that feel called to service are worried about their creative side, and we're all a bit split off from ourselves. And I do think that the society because of so many things. That's another rabbit hole. But the way the society is structured, it causes people to be split off and fractured and distanced from different parts of themselves in a way to keep the whole machine going. Because as long as you feel that some part of you is missing, then you'll always be addicted and hungry for something from the outside to feed you, versus recognizing, oh, I live in this distorted, dysfunctional society. How do I become whole and complete and functional within myself such that I can, if anything, simply be a role model from being in alignment with what I am, whatever that may be? And I have yet to meet a person who didn't really know. It might have been obscured by layers of story or, you know, narratives or definitions about who I think I am or what I think I'm here to do. But ultimately, there is this abiding sense within each of us that I'm not like the others, and yet I'm like the others. So if I can find ways to interact with the parts of me that are like others, while at the same time not diminishing or hiding or criticizing that which makes me different. To me, that's the balancing act for all of us. And it takes enormous courage, because if you have poor boundaries, you got to learn to say no. And if your boundaries are too tight, you got to learn to relax. And I will offer that in my own experience, I have both inside of me. I have places where I had no boundaries, terrible boundaries, poor boundaries, and then other places where I was really tight and contracted and, you know, F you, stay away from me, you know, my shield was up. And so in my process of my own healing, I've been looking at the places where, and asking myself, where do I actually need some flexible boundaries? And where do I need to relax what I think I know and open to a different point of view or a different way of doing things, which I see you bringing forth in so many ways in the work that you do, is that you, I'm experiencing it right now. You create this beautiful container for, in a way, what's new to move through, what wants to evolve, right? So I don't want to come here today and just say what I've said before. What new wants to move through us today? So ultimately, what's happening for me is I'm expressing more and more in real time. I'm watching my own thought process in real time, and other people are experiencing it in real time. They're watching my mind work and my body work. And that's what I want to encourage people to do, is to come to situations without a lot of preconditions and have the experience. So, but that requires, to my earlier point, kind of knowing my own edges so I can show up in a way that others can receive, versus them putting up their shield like, no, that's just too much information, or that's too out of my realm of conception to even allow in. So I'm just la la la, not going to listen. So yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely speaking to my heart in my experience of very similar things as you, as some areas having to loose boundaries, other areas deep protection, deep walls of distrust and pain. And through connecting to myself, really that embodiment, as you were speaking so beautifully too, of here now, what desires to be expressed through this body? Here now, what lights me up? What is bringing me joy in this very moment? Because we can really easily get up into our heads and have these ideas of that boundaries look like this, and joy looks like this, and I am this, and I have to create that. And when we are in that connection with our body, we are in this dynamic space of divine love moving through us, in this inexhaustible stream of consciousness which to me is that ecstatic being, that ecstatic self where we are lit simply through that moment and what desires to be created here now. So I feel everything so deeply to what you are speaking of. And I see you and I just deeply honor you. As you said, it takes immense courage. You said courage. I'm adding immense. It takes immense courage for each one of us to say yes to that which we know to be true. When we feel it, when we know it, I always say there is no I don't know. It's just not true. It's where we're not really listening. We don't want to really honor what we're sensing. It takes that courage. And I just invite all the listeners right here, right now, as I feel really called to do this, I want you to know, each and every one of you that are listening to this today, that you have that courage. That courage exists within you. Whether you identify it with it or not, I guarantee you, you have it. And it's those little steps, right? Those little steps, just that one yes, that one no, that tuning in right here, right now, and taking action on that, that builds that sense of courage. Is that your experience, Beth?
Yes. And I would also offer that many times we don't know, but the way that I frame that is I don't have enough information yet or clues yet to give you an answer, but I'm willing to go into the inquiry that what I need to know will be revealed. But I get what you're saying, because often with clients, they will just blurt out, oh, I don't know. And even that is a defense mechanism. Like, they're really saying, I do know, but I don't want to know that I really know, because then I'd have to do something about it. And it's just so much easier to hide, to complain, to blame, to deflect, or whatever, you know, whatever the mechanism is that we don't want to engage. And I realized for myself, I was causing myself enormous suffering by being half-hearted about my business. And I realized that I have to bring the kind of commitment, devotion, and yes energy to whatever I do and be willing to go through the abysmal pits of hell sometimes to see the experience through. Because what we commit to is the experience. And where we get into trouble is when that experience doesn't match what our head says it should look like. And then we make other people wrong, or we shut the whole process down, or we try to, like, you know, stick a monkey wrench in the wheel because the wheel's going and our ego's saying, no, not like this, not like that, not like that. And more and more and more, I'm recognizing that is, I have the capacity to be okay with all those unknown, mysterious places in myself. I can hold more space for other people to be messy. They can even get mad at me. They can project on me, whatever. And I'm finding more and more and more, I'm like, that's okay. Get it out. Like, express yourself. Like, what's in there? You know, so the big thing for me was learning that I was an overreactor, misintensity, took too many things personally because of my own, I guess you could call it trauma. I mean, life is a trauma for everyone. So I haven't met a single person who hasn't been traumatized. Being born is a trauma. There's always trauma in life. But being able to hold space for my mess and just say to myself, I don't know if it's going to be okay. It might not be, but I am committed to this experience and I am going to be devoted to it. I'm going to see it through, because my half-heartedness, my one foot in, my one foot out, oh, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. I'd have a hit of success and then pull back, right? And create all this contraction. And then hurry up and wait, and hurry up and wait, and all this forcing and pushing and drama. And as I witnessed all of that myself and kind of let it fall away, I began to come into right relationship with myself. And I recognize now that if I'm going to say yes to something, I better be very careful, take my time with it. Because once I say yes to it, there's no getting out of it. I'm going to have to see that all the way through. And if I try to get out of it, I do harm to myself, and I actually do harm secondarily to the people around me because they feel my wobble, my in and out with commitment. So that's what I personally am. And not everybody has commitment as their challenge, but that is one of my gifts and one of my challenges, my ability to commit. And so I'm in a process of recommitting every day to choose life. Because life is for the living, not the dead, right? Life is for the living. So what does choose life mean? Go be outside. Today I walked in the grass for 2 hours. I walked in the grass barefoot. I walked to town and back from town, and I took my flip-flops off, and I walked barefoot, and it was magical. I even was able to get within a foot of these giant turkey vultures. They were these huge birds, and they weren't afraid of me at all because I was connected to the earth. So I was resonating at that, I guess the Schumann resonance of the earth. I could feel my body just humming with the pulse of the earth. And I noticed, oh, wow, the animals around me aren't afraid. They're not afraid because I'm present. I'm present to what is. So that's a big, long-winded, but at any rate, commitment, not being half-hearted, being devoted to the whole ride. So
it's so interesting because I don't know if you have it, but I have that gene key. I have
the 29
of half-heartedness, commitment, and devotion. And
yeah, gate so, 29. Yeah, me
yes,
too.
Right here, I totally feel you. And it's been my same experience of when I first heard that word, half-heartedness, my jaw dropped because I realized how often I had been putting my toe into things and being, oh, sure, yeah, I want all in. And then not showing up. And however, seeing myself in the moments where I say yes, wow, there is so much of me that is available. And honestly, I haven't found my limit of capacity. And so saying that that's the me, you know, that is the me that I call into this life. And just as you so wonderfully put, being really clear on, do I want to say yes to this? And it's quite interesting because it reminds me of something I was just dealing with my boys. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. And my younger son keeps getting, you know, subtly manipulated by my older son who says, oh, let's trade, you know, and he'll make these deals. And so finally the younger son will say, okay. And then, you know, 2 hours later, he's like, I want it back. You know, I don't want to do that anymore. And I'm telling him, you can't do that. You know, if you have to be really clear in yourself, ask yourself, is that really what you want? And if you say yes, then sweetheart, you're all in. Like that's the road you're going. You're not going to say yes and then 2 hours retract. So I said, so pause and breathe and really feel in your body. Do you want to say yes to that? And if that's a no, then say no. And if he keeps badgering, you say, hell no, you know, like really stand in that, but be clear. And I love that we're bringing this in today because it's so important. To me, that is the boundary. It is a yes or it is a no. And when we feel that in our bodies and we feel that in our being, it's that honor of self, knowing that that is what serves not only us, right? Because our boundaries are service to the higher good of all. Our boundaries serve all. And that is something that is so imperative. Our yes serves, our no serves. And it's aligning and standing our ground to that. So I just love how you brought that in today. It's so deeply, deeply close to my heart. When you're experiencing your life right now and you are helping your clients and you're seeing, because I know that you see a lot as well. I can feel that you have a large amount of vision. As it says, you know, you are an intuitive oracle. And what are you sensing and feeling and seeing with regards to the imperativeness? I want to honor that word wanted to come through today. The imperativeness of our commitment, of our devotion, of our boundaries, of knowing deeply within ourselves our yes and our no and taking action on that? What are you sensing and seeing about that?
Well, if it weren't so horrific at times, I'm deeply amused by humanity because we as a species like to blame each other and ourselves for what's happening to humanity. And it's somewhat hilarious to me, as if we had that much control. We really do have this beautiful power of choice, of yes and no. That's really all we're given in life to differentiate, is a yes and a no. And that's the key to everything, is an honest yes and an honest no. And if an individual can figure that out, that's like 99% of the struggle here on Earth. Humans like to think they're in charge. I don't know what that's about exactly. They don't really understand nature or evolution or whatever. I don't really know. But what I'm witnessing is we're having this precipitous population decline. So the human population is expected to drop about 50% in about next 30 to 50 years, which we're already well on our way. Now humans, of course, are trying to find reasons for this caused by other humans. But in fact, it's happening primarily because we're evolving. So what I would offer, without getting into a big, you know, discussion about what's going on out there, is that evolution is interested in efficiency. And it likes beauty as well. Nature is really interested in beauty and truth and efficiency. And so if you are sitting on your couch, contributing nothing to this evolutionary process at this point in history, there's really no need for you here. I don't know how else to put it. And so that is part of why the population's declining, is less humans are required for where consciousness is going. And so if you happen to still be alive in this moment, listening to this recording or watching it, whenever you're watching it, good for you. Now the question becomes, are you going to be part of what some people are calling the new earth, which essentially I see as small communities of highly actualized creative people? I see us, we're going to be forced kind of back into tribal living, but with a new consciousness, smaller groups of people, 10, 12, 15 people, and little pods of people interacting with each other. So I'm encouraging my own clients, find your pod. And they're finding their people, and it's giving them great support. I actually think the pandemic really helped people in terms of it being a bellwether for what kind of life do you want to have? Do you want to live in a virtual, fake reality where your reality is being sold back to you as this, you know, dopamine adventure? Or do you actually really want to live life? Which means you're not going to feel good all the time. You're just not. But you're going to be real, and you're going to feel like you're in reality. And to me, the magic is in reality. So on the individual level, most individuals need to recover their mental and physical well-being by recognizing how dissociated from reality they've become, how in the ethers of fantasy and dopamine addiction they've become, and come back down to earth. Because if you don't, one of two things are going to happen. You're going to get slammed like I did, hard, and you may or not make it, or you're just going to be removed. So people might say to me, Beth, that's harsh, but nothing else seems to get through to people, unfortunately. Me too. I need it to be slammed for me to go, oh, this isn't a joke. I can push it so far, and then there's no more place to push. So humanity's kind of bifurcating. And I just feel that, you know, whatever's going on over here with the negativity and the, you know, AI and all this nonsense, that's just, it's not going to last. You can go there, or you can come back into your body, and you can embrace your humanity and your creativity. And you can use the tools of tech, of course, but use them as tools, right? They're not a salvation. They're not going to make your life easier. If anything, technology requires extreme boundaries because they are set up to be addictive. The people that manufacture all this stuff on tech don't want people to look away from their screens. And so if you have a relationship, if you have a business, if you have an outdoor hobby, that's time you're not spending on the screen. So we have to take our power back as individuals and look at anything in our environment as a tool. And how am I going to interact with that, you know, or resource? How am I going to interact with that resource? Other people are resources, not to be used, of course, but that's up to the individual. And all these tools are resources. But we, as individuals, really have to decide what gets into my field and what doesn't. And no one can make that decision for an individual. So that's what I see is really up is you, we're at a choice point and it's differentiate or die right now. Because if you don't have your own sovereignty and ability to make decisions and you're looking to these psychopathic and narcissistic leaders, which actually are part of the transition. I just as an aside, I was thinking about this on my walk, how narcissism, the sort of increase in narcissism is actually an evolutionary transition into self-love. You have to first transition through a narcissistic state of me, 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 to move into a space of I love myself and I also love you. Right? But you don't jump to that. You first have to have space to go, wait, I matter. And that's a narcissistic phase. And it needs to be integrated. So I just see humanity's just moving along. It's evolving, but there's always fallout from that. And evolution doesn't care about the individual. It cares about evolution. So we're either contributing to the expansion of consciousness, we're contributing to the beauty and majesty and variation and differentiation of life, or we're not. That's the choice point as I see it right now in history. You know, ask me in a couple months, I may have something different to say, or a couple years, but.
I completely agree with you. And it was one of the things that I really loved when we first connected was just the blatant truth, the blatant raw truth, because it is important, I feel, for everybody to hear. And from my perspective, you know, we are going to go into a couple of years of really intense time where this question becomes a real squeeze, you know, of do you really honor yourself as a human being? And do you really honor your human experience? From my own personal experience, you know, meditating for a long time, and there for a while I was meditating and I was just, you know, going off into the ethers and, you know, just didn't really honor myself as a human. And I felt very disconnected from other humans and was kind of just like, you know, I don't know why they all have to just be like this. Why are humans like this? And my higher self really led me back into my body, you know, which is where I found the compassion in my body and in my heart for this human experience, but not just the compassion, you know, the joy of it, the joy of the senses, right? The joy of the physical, the joy of the human experience. And that to me is what we're being really invited into is back into the depth of humanness as it moves through its evolution through consciousness. I just got a total blisslet through my body right there. So that's
will you say that again? Will you say that again, Alara?
Can you say that again?
I want to hear that again.
I don't know if I can. The depth of our humanness through the evolution of consciousness is what it feels like, the inviting that into. Because that's what it feels like, the depth of the human experience, which is very, very visceral, right? It has the senses. It has the emotion. It has all of the emotions, you know, and just as you said so beautifully, I too have found the same thing of the capacity to hold people in their anger, in their frustration, in all of it, and not need like, I don't want to be around you. It's like, okay, sweetheart, Yeah, feel it. I'm here with you. I'll breathe with you. Let's go. Like, move that through your body. It's okay. You're safe. Like, emotion is safe. Emotion is safe. I walked my son through this the other day. I've taught my boys about anger, but my older son was like, well, I tried, Mom. I tried to feel it. And I just feel more angry. And I was like, fantastic. Go into that. And sure enough, he did. And we just all held this space. And he just, I was just in his room. And he got through it and he came out and he was just so lit because he was just so, he felt it. He felt himself move through the process. He felt held. He felt loved. He didn't feel ostracized. I kept walking like, you got this, sweetheart. Yeah, just feel it. Feel all of it. And this to me is just so dear to my heart. Like, to be able to feel the wholeness, the fullness of who we are. Just as you beautifully put, in our uniqueness, in our I am different, as well as in our vibrational resonance together. And to deepen into all of that, like, yes, 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 the juiciness, the uncomfortableness, the we don't know-ness, and trust, 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 surrender and breathe into that experience. So, Beth, when you are helping people to, especially right now, right? Because again, I'm just really feeling in our conversation this imperativeness. I think it has a lot to do with today and just the next couple of years and who you are as well. And when you're working with your clients, what are you pointing them towards as a north, as a touchstone, in order to help them with this big word of purpose and this alignment and these boundaries?
Part of it is balancing their masculine and feminine energies. So figuring out from the masculine side what kind of structures and support they need for self-care, you know, resources, software, whatever they're needing in terms of a proper structure. Maybe they need people to help them. Usually it's a combination of those things. Often they need a lot more sleep. They need a lot more downtime. This idea that any human being, even the most regimented person, is meant to be regimented all the time is patently insane. And most of us aren't meant to be that regimented at all. And if we are, we create our own routine, if you will, or rituals to provide our life with some structure. I don't need a ton of structure. Some people do. But that knowing what those particular structures are is very, very valuable. And then it's looking at what energies want to be expressed or flow through those structures from that particular individual, right? So that's where I can use the tools. Like, some people are here to embody judgment. They are here to be judgers. They are people here who are here to say, no, that's not going to work. And that's part of the energy that carried on. No, that's not going to work. And we need those people. And then we have the hope people who bring all the possibility and the hope and the positivity, you know, and those are sort of a tension between the fixers and the hopers. And, you know, I'm very motivated by desire. So my whole thing is, what do you want? So when people come to me, there's some place they're not getting what they want or receiving what they want or being receptive to what wants them. And more and more and more, it's like, well, can you just be receptive to see what wants you? So just the practice of being receptive and being in a place of positive expectancy or positive anticipation and resting in that, trusting that you will receive. You just need to create space for it. And if you're constantly smashing your head full of noise from the media and the people around you telling you what to do, that all becomes very, very confusing. So as much as I advise people and I offer them guidance, and I'm great at doing that for other people, terrible doing it for myself. I mean, that's, you know, I have to have other people advise me. Yeah. Yeah. Coaching oneself, it's kind of like doing one's own accounting. I don't recommend it. In fact, one of my friends said, you need to start a channel called I Don't Recommend It. So I think I'm going to. All the things I don't recommend. But at any rate, yeah, when I'm working with a client, it's looking at, okay, where are they not, where's their energy leaking? Where are they not managing those boundaries and putting necessary structures in place for their design? What is their alignment? And what happens when you get into alignment is most of your health problems evaporate and your financial problems start to rectify themselves and you start attracting the right people, places, and opportunities because you're in alignment with who you are. So the structures create the space and then honoring your own rhythm. You know, maybe you're a night person, you're nocturnal. Some people are daytime people. They're the get up at 4 a.m. people and then the go to bed at 4 a.m. people. And one isn't better or right than the other. It's just really honoring what makes your system happy. What makes you feel nourished and supported by life so that you can handle what's being asked of you. Now, I have a lot being asked of me. And I've been playing small. And I've been using my ego to play small. So some people go all out ego and they burn out, right? And then there's other people that use ego like I have to hide. I'm not so interested in doing that anymore. I'm willing to step into what I'm called to step into. And I've resisted it for a really long time. And I think I resisted it probably from a survival place of knowing that I didn't have the skills to handle the energy that wants to move through my structures. And so I had to figure out how to set up a life that felt good so that I would be willing to handle, as Shakespeare said, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune and go out there in the world knowing people will want to crucify me. And they do it anyway. So I figured, well, hell, they're going to do it anyways. I may as well go for it and have a good time and bring what I'm here to bring. So essentially, what's your structure or, you know, yang, what's the structure? And then what's the unique expression? And of course, we don't just have one unique expression or one unique gift, right? It's like the time and the place and what wants to be created now. A great example of this, I was watching on Netflix a documentary about Taylor Swift, which I hadn't watched. I will say, like, I haven't listened to a lot of her music, and I'm not really up on the pop music scene. But I've always admired her as a being. And in that documentary, it shows her creative process. And it really shows how she's set up these structures around her. One of them being she's a very supportive mother who kind of goes with her everywhere she goes. And that's a huge part of success. When you have family backing, family support, right? She also has like a board of directors, which is family and friends and team. And she runs stuff by them. And sometimes she goes with what they suggest and sometimes she doesn't. But just like a good leader, a good leader has a board of directors, a board of advisors to run things past. And hopefully it's not just an echo chamber. It's a constellation of people, some of whom vehemently disagree with your point of view. That's who you want on your team. You don't want just yes people because you're going to end up like Elvis, dead, young. And she's thriving in part because she's smart and she understands that she doesn't want to be the smartest person in the room. But the thing that's so interesting about her is that she gets an idea and she runs it by her team and she runs it with her creative people. And then she delivers the idea and she makes it happen. She puts it out in the world. It's not that complicated, folks. You know, it's just she acts on her ideas and not all of them work, of course. And some of them are epic failures. But what does she care? Because the creations just keep coming. And I think that's one of the conditioning things we forget. We think that we have finite opportunities or finite whatever. And it's not finite till you're dead in this lifetime, right? You always have opportunity, and mostly you create those opportunities by having respect for the magic and genius that lives in you. And only you can bring that out. No one else can. You know, so she didn't wait for permission. She knew when she was young, I like making music. I'm going to write songs. And I know if I write songs, I can control my career. And that's exactly what she's done. So whatever you think of her music, she's an epic example in what it is to live one's purpose on a really big scale. And not everyone's called to the spotlight either. So there's that. But she's a really good example. And for my clients, I'll leave you this thought. What I'm noticing is there's a couple thoughts here, Alara. There's initiating the shamans, or in some way encouraging healers and healing artists. I know that part of what my role is, I give them permission. Clarity and permission. That's the feedback I've gotten for 20 years. You gave me permission and clarity so I could say yes to this epic thing that wants to be expressed in the world. And so clarity and permission is a really big deal. And particularly for people that are not mainstream, which is most of my community, right? Like mainstream, like we just don't fit in. And that's a good thing. So there's that piece. And also, I'm noticing I attract mostly women. I do have a few men, but mostly women who are, let's say, 45 and up. But really, I'm starting to attract women in their 60s, 70s, 80s. And they're saying, my time is now. So it feels like I am being asked to be a voice to say to humanity, stop thinking that old age is about retirement and getting Alzheimer's and being in assisted living. Old age, you're not supposed to get decrepit and senile. It's nonsense. It's utter nonsense. And how do I know this? Both my parents, well, my stepdad too, they're all in their 80s and they have more energy than most 30-year-olds I know. They're physically active, they're sharp as tacks, and even their voices sound like 40-year-olds. And that's a decision you make. So people don't like this, but I'm going to say it right now. Alzheimer's, for the most part, is people who want to commit suicide, and it's a socially acceptable way to do it. No one's supposed to be getting senile. I suppose there's mercury poisoning, but other than that, I'm not supposed to be senile. And our society says, you know, you're 55, retire, we're throwing you in the dustbin. And I say, no. Age 50 is when transcendence begins. All that first 50 years was training for the next 30 to 40 years to bring your magic into the world as an elder, as a high priestess, a high priest, as a shaman, a shamana, a healer, an alchemist, a doctor, a nurse. I don't care what it is. But there is no retire. You can save your money, you can invest, you can't take any of it with you. So even that, like, people are nuts. It's like, first of all, you don't need that much money. What are you doing? Like, what is your life about? You get one shot in this body. This body. I do think life is probably eternal. The consciousness is eternal. But you get one shot in this dealio. Yeah. So in traditional cultures, if you were that old and decrepit, you go out in the woods with some whiskey and you'd sit in the snow and you'd die. And that's what old people need to do. Go off and die. I don't want to take care of your senile ass. Like, no. And if God help, if that's happening to me, I will go into the woods with a bottle of whiskey and sit under the tree and they'll find me in the morning and bury me in the ground or set me on fire. I don't care. You're either contributing or you're taking. So I say to all the people 50 and over, screw your retirement, screw your senile bullshit, get your shit together and be of service. Because otherwise you're going to die a terrible death or just drop dead of a heart attack and that's your choice. Or end up in one of those nursing homes on medication, wandering the halls, shouting at people. That's not how you're supposed to go. It's a lie. And people have bought it en masse, particularly in Western society. And I find it horrifying. I'm horrified by it. So I feel like you can feel my passion. That's part of my messaging I've been realizing in the past few months, is to say to the men and women 50 and over, we need you. The children need you. Let's get back on the horse. Come to the cauldron. Bring your wisdom. We are ready to listen. O wise ones. So it's the ancient wisdom, right? The gray, the wisdom of the ancient gray ones. And welcoming that wisdom back into the fold, instead of relegating the most experienced, intelligent, and wise people to the dustbin. That makes no sense to me. You know, if I'm hiring people, I'm like, who's the most experienced? The person will say, I'm 60 years old. I'm like, I don't care. You have the most experience. What can you teach me?
I just had such bliss hit during that. The calling the wisdom back, because it is. And this is known in outside of the human, you know, collective, the wisdom of consciousness. You know, the truth is humans used to live to very, very long ages, 700, 900 years. And we are children. We're infants compared to those ages where, you know, you are in your early years, you have no idea. And you're very ego-based and you're very concerned about what other people think. And as you get older, you step into the wisdom, you step into the, this is who I am, sweetheart, take me, leave me. I'm not so concerned about what's out here. Now I can really connect to what's in here. And for women, when we go through menopause, you know, that is where we stop, you know, this creative process to potentially create life comes back in, and it fully integrates into the woman. That is where the wise women really step into their power, is when they go through menopause, not before. After. And I haven't gone through menopause. I'm perimenopausal. I am very wise. And I don't say that women who are premenopausal can't be wise, but your creative force, your Shakti, is still being utilized through the process of your monthly cycle. And when you go through menopause, that power comes and integrates into your body and moves through your body, through your heart, through your throat, through your pineal gland, out through your crown. It's, you know, wow. You know, that is the wise woman healers. That is the women who bring that ancient wisdom of the body, of the earth, of Gaia, in through their hands, back to humanity, back to humanity, back to humanity. So yes, 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 Beth. Thank you so much for that beautiful message. I hear you, my love. You're such a light. You're such a beautiful presence. I see you so clearly. I'm so deeply grateful to have you here today. It's such a wonderful conversation, and I just really enjoy being with you. How can people find you? How can they reach you? What's the best way?
Oh, thanks for asking. Yeah, if you go to yourpurpose.com, people can get a human design chart there, and really it'll just put you into our community if you want to be in the community. And I do regular trainings in my Facebook group. So if people want to go to Align to Your Design on Facebook, we actually have another free training coming up. I do trainings probably every 2 months in there that are complimentary. Give people a taste of the work. And of course, I keep shifting and changing. So I never really know what's going to come through. But it's always exciting. It's always fun. It's always magical and activating. So that's what I would recommend to people, just to get a taste. And then, you know, there's a various ways if someone felt called to work with me or work with our team, you know, that they'll know whether or not. I'm not everybody's cup of tea.
Yes, yes, yes. Activating. Wonderful. And on that note, we're going to go into our activation right now. I'm excited to see what will come through today. So I always say to the listeners to really partake in this, unless you're driving. And then, of course, you know, you have to be present with your automobile. And come back to this when you can be fully present in this moment. Otherwise, let's just go ahead and close our eyes. And bring our awareness to our bodies and feel your breath, and just breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, taking a moment to feel the air coming into your body, coming into your chest, feeling the air leaving your body, that simplistic movement of life force energy through you. And now going ahead and breathing as you drop your awareness down to your womb. Breathe down into your womb, whether you have a womb or not. Breathe down into that space and dropping even further all the way down into your yoni. Breathing down to your yoni, down to your labia lips, my love. Breathe into the fullness. Breathe into the fullness of you. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. And as we're breathing in now, we're going to start calling in the pink energy, pink and golden energy. With each inhalation, you're drawing this pink golden energy through your body, all the way down to your yoni, all the way down to your labia lips. We're right here, right now. We are activating and reminding you of your boundaries, activating and reminding you of the boundaries that live in your labia lips. Breathing there now. And as you exhale, you're letting go of any of those times and those experiences where you blew through your boundaries, any of those times and experiences that you weren't aware of your boundaries. And as you release these out of your body, you are clarifying and intensifying the certainty of self, clarifying and intensifying the certainty of self. Breathe in, clarifying and intensifying the certainty of self. I'm going to bring in some sound. Just keep visualizing that golden pink light. Keep breathing it all the way down to your labia lips as you listen to the sound. Deep breath. Trusting your body, trusting this moment, trusting this now. Trusting your breath, trusting the self, trusting this now. Trusting Gaia, trusting your body, trusting your humanness, trusting this now. Yes, 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 my love. Yes, 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 my love. Your purpose, your vision, your womb, your heart has value. Who you are is imperative to the human process. Who you are is imperative to the puzzle of consciousness that flows through our bloodstream. Who you are is part of the breath of love that fills our lungs. Who you are is love. Who you are is love. One more nice deep breath all the way down into your yoni, all the way down in the fullness of your woman, and then let it out, out of your mouth. As always, remembering the perfection of your unique process. Whatever you feel and experience is perfect. Whatever you feel and experience is perfect. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. By the perfection of the divine trinity, it is done. Aho. You can open your eyes and come back to the space. Beth, my love, I am so deeply honored to have been connected to you. I'm so, once again, just grateful to have you here. And I'm truly excited to connect with you more and see where life takes us. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure. May our energy go far and wide to be available to whomever needs a reminder of their own majesty and purpose.
Own majesty and purpose. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you to all the listeners that have been listening to this. As always, I deeply invite you to share these messages, share this episode with anybody that you feel might be lost or unsure of their purpose, of their mission here, of knowing their truth. Share this episode with them. And we will see you next time on the Ecstatic Woman Podcast.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Women Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com